rewarding rather than stressful and chaotic. She believes that a sense of humor, friendliness, and authentic caring for our families can lead to true and meaningful relationships. She seeks to empower parents to raise caring, respectful, and responsible adults who will make positive contributions to our world and our community, which is what we're all striving for, right? So welcome back. Please help me welcome back Kathy Maddox.
Thank you. Testing. Hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for having me back. This is one of my favorite places to come and speak. I think the difference between coming here and other places that I go is this breakfast time that you have and all the beautiful chattering and catching up and strollers coming in and babies coming in. It's just delightful and seems very positive to me. Today you all have on your tables my notes, and so you can follow along in that. What we're getting to today, that cartoon, when the challenge of the week, of the day, of the year, or of your life is in front of you, how are you going to handle it? What are you going to do to get through it? So I want you to, if you have something to write with, the very top of your notes, I want you to write, life is a gift. And I'm these little gifts and the gifts that you once were to your parents, I'm talking about your lifetime. So our lives on this earth, they are gifts. Each of your journey pathways is unique. There's not one of you that's going to end your life when you're 100 years old, look back, and have it match anyone else's here. All of our lives are full of adventures and challenges, some thrilling activities, and some heartbreaks. And my job here today is to help you do a good job of handling those stresses, handling those crises that come your way. Most Christ-like, graceful, loving manner that you can. So all of our lives are a series of an event after event after event after event. Some of us have long time before there is any major event, but all of us at some point will go through some event. And your kids are watching you. And so for you to be well prepared and ready to go in life, no matter where you are, even the mentors that are here, we can jump on and do a better job. So that's what we're going to talk about today is your role as a parent who is hopefully going to provide an atmosphere where you launch 18 or whatever age as a responsible, respectful, spiritual light glowing person into the world that is a giver and not a taker, a lover and not a complainer. So that's where we're going to start off today. Acronym PEPPER, mostly because the words fit, but then I got it around to a pretty good meaning to use that word PEPPER. So if we use it as a verb, we pepper our children with kisses. We pepper our family with love. We pepper our lives with fun little events and or vacations. And so you are commissioners in charge of peppering your children for the rest of their lives, by the by, not just when they're 18, up until they're 18, with being a woman that has a lot of strength and poise and grace and love and the strength you need to have to address any challenge that comes your way. So this is our challenge for today. So find a scribe, someone that will write for you. Each table, 1 minute, tell that scribe all of the possible challenges that will be presented to you in your lifetime. It doesn't have to be that you've already met them. So write them. You've got 1 minute. Let's go. Find a scribe. Let's go. Okay. You don't have to be the scribe, but a caller that will call out what's on your list so far. And all the rest of you, you look at your list, cross off everyone that they say that you have. Okay, who's going to start? What group? Yes.
Loss of loved ones.
Really loud.
Loss of loved ones.
Go ahead.
Abandonment.
Wow.
Illness, money problems, family relationships, job loss, injury, natural disasters, addiction, and blended family.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Okay, who can add to that? Who can add to what she said? That was a great list. Anyone else? Yes.
I didn't hear all of them, but I'm not sure she said abuse.
Abuse. What
infidelity.
Else? Infidelity.
Drug and alcohol issues.
Drug and alcohol issues. Lord have mercy. Yes.
Relocating,
moving, it's huge. What else? Accident. What else? A parent passing.
Child sickness.
Child sickness. Awesome.
Divorce.
Right. Any others? Those are great. Some of those issues you can plan on, and some of them hit you, blindside you. And you've got to handle this the best you can. And now you have little ones watching. So what is healthy response? What does a healthy response look like? What are you going to do when some of this stuff hits you? And again, all of your journeys, all your pathways are very unique. So now, each of you, flip your notes over just to get a blank page. And, you know, I am 64. However old you are, that's the length of your line. And now, like a seismometer, like an earthquake detector, go through. So this is halfway for me. Go through and start just thinking about your life so far. What does it look like? You know, it was, sort of uneventful here. Ooh, I met Johnny. I married Johnny. I had kids. Woo, 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 woo. Death in the family. Unexpected death in the family. New job. Went back to school at the age of 52. Okay. So you can see how mine is. And maybe recently I've had some pretty big deals go on. That's what mine looks like. Could you make yours, please? And by the way, this is just for you. This is not some, no one can, you know, say, hey, what were your big lines for? If you want to reveal that, that's up to you. But this is just for you so you can personalize what we're going to do today. Think about it. What does it look like? Some of them are not, of course. Okay, so on a daily basis, we have crazy things happen to us. Can't find the kids' shoes, late for the dentist appointment. What are other things that you deal with on a daily basis that kind of...
Arguing
children. Great. What else? Brushing hair. Why is that a problem? I don't know what their thing is. After a while, we pay a whole bunch of money for somebody to brush our hair. We have to just get them there, right? Okay, what else? Awesome.
Brushing teeth.
Good. Taking a bath.
Having
what? Yeah, eating. I only want white food. What else?
Making dinner.
Getting in the car seat. Awesome. Say it again.
Leaving the house,
just getting them into the car. Right, so every day we have some itsy tiny challenges. And this is where we're gonna go today a little bit. So on a daily basis, little things happen to us, and some of them, I mean, you know, we'll work on this a little bit later, but some of them are really so small. You know, we should hardly count them as something to even talk about, but that is what makes or breaks our day sometimes. So that's what we're going to work about on is this right here. Okay? That's a different day, but it's okay to cry. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be mad in front of your kids. When these events happen, they have to see what happens after that. Will you live after that? Will you be okay after that? Can we go through that season and have some normality come back to the household? Yes, that's all important. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but mostly on a daily basis and an ongoing basis, this peppering children respond or what to do in certain circumstances on a daily basis is going to help or not help your child as an adult when they see how you respond to little things. So let's start with the P for prepare. We as parents need to be able to of what we need to do in order to be ready for the day, to be ready to be parents, to be ready to be a family member. And that first thing is preparing spiritually. And all of you here are already working on that. You're coming, you're praying together, you've got mentors at every table, which is just heavenly as far as I'm concerned. You're educating yourself. But beyond that, what do you do for yourself spiritually? How do you nourish? I love this word, nourish. How do you nourish your spirituality? What do you do to connect with God? We don't, at this age, in the season that you're all in, there's not time. You're not going to take, you know, 3 hours to sit down, read your Bible, have a cup of coffee, head to the beach. None of that's going to happen. But what do you do? Even if it's 5 minutes, where do you stop and connect with God? Is it maybe on the weekend you get to go down to the beach and just listen to the waves or smell the sound of the beach and see God's nature, and that helps you? Some of you like a service. Some of you even get most of your nurturing here, and that's great. Just be mindful of it. Do it on purpose. Don't just go through life and say, oh, I'm supposed to do this. Or, oh, everybody else is doing this. What do I want to do to nourish my soul and my spirit? Devotionals, Bible studies, taking the sermon that you might hear on a Sunday or from someone else, just one more step. Doing your own Bible study on that if you don't have time to be part of a small group. But in order for you to be prepared for your life and all the challenges that you might come across, this is the foundation. This is where when you call on God, it's not a brand new thing. You've got a relationship with Him already. Okay, prepare emotionally. Where are you in regards to how you feel about your past, how you feel about your own parents, your own childhood, your own situation? How are you managing yourself? So the emotional management of one is a tough thing because we have hormones we're dealing with. We have really weird situations come up sometimes and some things are out of our control. But if you are present and aware of how you feel emotionally, sometimes then you don't have to bleed onto the kids if you're having a rough day. You've got some control there. And I want to remind you, there's this beautiful scripture, which you've all heard a zillion times, in Ecclesiastes. And this is what's really cool about the Bible all the time. It actually tells us that there are seasons in our lives, that there are sometimes we have to go through some struggles, and sometimes we get to go through some fun things too. But it says every activity is under heaven. Every single thing you do and go through, this is under heaven. He knows about all of it. You know, it would have been great if Jesus would have dealt with children who were throwing sippy cups across the room. It would have been great if we'd had specifics about how to get a kid strapped into the car seat. We don't have that, but this is a pulled back look at a season in your life. There is going to be time when there's crying, but there's also going to be time when there's laughing. There is going to be time when you're mourning and sad, but there's also time for you to dance. It's all in the scriptures. It says all these activities God knows about, and we need to go through each season understanding it's our job to go as long as we can, as gracefully as we can, working toward being, you know, Christ-like women. So I will ask you just this question that you can only answer inside your head, but are you responsible for increasing or decreasing the tension and drama in your home? So you're emotionally, are you the one that is getting the drama, or are you responsible for reducing some of the drama, reducing some of the issues at home so that someone sees, oh, she's strong and she's in control, because I want to flip out. So emotionally, again, are you prepared well enough? Do you need to get extra help? So, and then gathering strength, you're doing that today. You listen to speakers, you listen to others at your table, you listen to your mentors. You are gathering strength from others. You are learning from others so that you can become this very strong person in your own family. And this is when you rally the troops. All these people are part of your troops. So is your church, so is your neighborhood, so are your relatives, your mom, your dad. All these people are the people that you're going to learn from so that you get strength to see how, in order for you to manage yourself well. And then there is time that you have the wisdom to seek wisdom. Counsel is something that your troops or your family or even the, well, yeah, troops or family can't answer. And so wise counsel may look like your pastor, a therapist. You guys now have the access of so much information online. You're going to look there too, but be real careful about that. You have to know the resource that you're looking at. But seeking wise counsel is the thing a wise person will do when they are struggling and don't know what to do next. Okay, that's our first P. The second letter is E for example. And it kind of is self-explanatory. But, you know, outside of the education process, parents modeling is the way a child learns, especially character traits. They're watching. So you have to be very careful that when those little eyes are watching you, that you are not maybe overreacting to an event, or maybe skimming by on not really paying the dues or the amount that you're supposed to pay, or that you didn't return the change when the person at the cash register made a mistake. They're watching everything. So that character that you want your children to have, this responsible, respectful giver to the world, they have to also see that in you. So the example that you also can give to them is when something big happens in your family It's okay to cry. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be angry. You can, you know, those emotions that keep just you need to be purposeful about what you're going to do in the long run. How are you going to end this? What are you going to do to get yourself back to a kind of a normal place? And we can talk about that a little bit in the end. The kids do need to see you cry. They even need to see you argue with dad or argue with someone, as long as you're arguing fairly and there's no personal attacks. You can disagree with dad, and it's best if you do in front of your kids. You get to be an individual person in your house, and dad is an individual person too, and you can have your opinion. Sometimes they also need to see you negotiate to say, well, this is what this looks like, and this is what we're going to do from here on out. It was kind of a joke in my family that on voting day, I would only vote to cancel my husband's vote. And the kids both did not necessarily agree on many different elections. And they didn't know who we were for. They didn't care about that, but they always said, so John would always go first. He'd go, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, go down and vote. And I would wait till after work before I would vote, and sometimes, you know, have them tag along with me because it was a neighbor's house, and it was just kind of a fun event. But they would remind me, have you voted yet? I am important. So anyway, you're going to model individual strength with your kids, and it's okay, again, to have a really cruddy day or a really sad thing happen. They need to watch how you're going to handle it all in the long run. And I just want to remind you, this is my little love and logic. You know, I teach love and logic parenting classes, and one of my favorite things about that class is that we teach that there's no teasing and there's no sarcasm with your children. It's really hard. There are some of you who you were attracted to your husband because he was such a smarty, sarcastic, funny guy. But you have to remember that children don't take sarcasm well, and it puts you in a less powerful place if you do that. Also, teasing, you have to be very, very careful with teasing. Teasing, there's usually a piece of truth in teasing, and if you do it too much, you will not be safe for your children to go to. Mommy, I think I have a boyfriend. She's six. And said, oh yeah, like you can have a boyfriend, you know, this kind of dismissing what she says. So this open, tell me more. Who is it? Don't say, you can't have a boyfriend till you're 16. Because next time, she won't tell you. So if you're not careful and you tease or you challenge them in the wrong way, you shut their mouths because they're not going to tell you anymore. You all did the same thing, right? You were all secretive. I know you. And finally, just in this example piece, is make sure that your kids know that every member of the family can take a break. This is not time out. This is as an example to your kids when you are overwhelmed, oh my gosh, you did what? That you are afraid you're going to blast them. You're not going to drive till you're 36 and let me have that phone. So you're going to say something that you shouldn't say, or say something hurtful to the child, and you sometimes need to say, I need to take a break. I am upset right now, but I'm going to come right back out of my room in a minute or two. And everybody gets to do that. It's not disrespectful. It is a wonderful coping skill to say, close the door. You try to make children understand they can't stay in there, and they do have to address what was going on in the room, but you are going to do the same thing. Okay, I got my brains back in my head. We can talk about this. Okay, so taking a break is essential. An example of how you're going to handle things sometimes when you are like, ooh, I can't do anymore. Okay. One of my fun things I do with, how about using the right side, with my kids, and this is great for you as well as for your kids. You can teach them this, you don't have to pay me to do it. Getting perspective. So I tell the children that come to me, I will promise I'll get out of your way in just a second, you guys. Regarding problems or challenges, this is all a negative thing. We don't go this. There are 0 to 10 challenges in our life. And I say to children, what's the worst thing that could happen to you ever? And the first thing they always say, what? In algebra. Okay, let's back up. As human beings, what is the worst thing that can happen to us? And after some coaxing, most of them say things like, if my mommy was in a car accident, or if my daddy was in a car accident. I say, whoa, yes. So the event E is 10, and the reaction can be a 10. You can throw yourself on the floor and scream and kick and carry on, say, I don't want to go to school, say, my stomach hurts, my head hurts, and we're all going to say, why, of course. That's a 10 event. Then I say to the kids, number is it when you can't find your shoes in the morning? And at first, you know, I've got this all, you know, all dotted out for them. And at first they're going here and I grab their hand and that's a one event. And then I say, what is a one reaction? And most of them get it. Most of them say, mommy, I can't find my shoes. I was supposed to wear these shoes, it's picture day, whatever. And that's appropriate reaction. But what reaction did you have this morning when you couldn't find your shoes? I can't find my shoes! So then I say, you just gave a number 8 reaction to... This space right here is what we're working on. Yeah! A purposeful look at the perspective of what's going on. All of you need it too, right? We sometimes get overwhelmed with the tiniest things and probably overreact a little bit. One of my favorite stories is I was 30-something, two of which were in soccer, one was a baby. And I had the privilege to go see Sally Ride, the astronaut Sally Ride, speak. And you know, I'm sitting there, I remember sitting at a round table, and I have all this stuff in the back of my head that I should be doing, but I'm watching Sally Ride, so I gotta pay attention. And she said to the audience, you know, when you're in a rocket ship, and you're up in the sky, and there's this little porthole that you're looking out, and you see the most beautiful blue marble in this black sky. She says, all of you have seen pictures, you haven't seen it. She said, I realized up in space, of all things, that I was getting way too upset for being 5 minutes late to the dentist. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I thought, ooh, I get down in my little world and I've got to make sure it's all just right. And I thought, oh, wait. Why am I freaking out about something that in the long run really doesn't matter? So in my other story about this, which I tell all the kids that come in my office as well as the parents, I had a little boy, 7 years old, regular client, working on anxiety and a few other things, some learning disabilities and just handling his self-esteem. And the mom calls me, so I'm usually booked all day. I never pick up my phone. I don't know if it's a call or an email. But anyway, I had a cancellation, so I picked up the phone, or And she said, you know, he is bawling and bawling and bawling. Can I bring him in? I said, yeah, I got a cancellation. Come on in. Local person. Comes in. He sits in his favorite chair in my office, and she sits down too. I said, tell me what's going on. And he's still red-eyed, you know, doing all this kind of thing. I said, what in the world happened this morning? He says, I was putting toothpaste on my toothbrush, and I was getting ready to brush my teeth, and I dropped my toothbrush, and the dog was in the bathroom. The dog grabbed the toothbrush and shot out to the backyard. And when he chased after him, screaming like this, the dog was just munching on this toothbrush. Well, he kicked the dog. And then he started screaming, throwing himself on the ground. So I did this whole thing with him. So what's the worst thing that happened to you? And he said, my mommy and daddy in a car wreck, or car accident. And I said, what number is this on this scale about looking at how important that event was? And he goes, one? Correct. Now, tell me what a one reaction is, because you just gave us a 10 reaction over this whole thing. He turns to his mom and he says, ooh, I'm so good at this. Yeah. So, you know, helping your children get some perspective in regards to what the issue is and helping you get some perspective so you can slow down and take it for what it is, and then you help them say, you did this for this. Next time, is there some coping skill I can help you with? We're going to get to coping skills in just a minute. What can I help you with to manage? This again, as you have strength, you're watching your kids, you're not going to get overexcited, you're going to help them on their journey get some perspective. So P for power or strength, we'll say. Empowering your child is the most wonderful, fun thing. And some of that is just saying to them, I know you can do this. I know you can make that good decision. I have complete faith in you that you're going to handle this situation, instead of you answering all the questions all the time or you handling the situation all the time. So positive reinforcement for good self-control, for good problem solving. And be open to some of their suggestions of how to handle things. So sometimes you're going to, like, they're going to say something impossible to do. Don't laugh at them. Don't make fun of them. Say, well, that is an idea. Do you have any more? So that you're not closing down the conversation, but you're going to empower them to start making decisions on their own, problem solve on their own, so you have this responsible kid that can figure things out, and you don't have to be the helicopter mom that makes sure that everything's just right, or that he's not participated in problem solving. Sharing with control with your child as much as possible. This and providing choices. This is a love and logic skill. So as much as you can, you say, do you want red shirt or blue shirt? Do you want milk or juice? Do you want to walk or would you like to twirl? You know, giving them opportunities over and over and over again so they think, man, I am running the show here. All the choices you're giving them are choices you're good with. Don't give him a choice that you don't want him to choose. He'll choose it. So the choices are positive and fun. Don't do this if he's crabbing. That's not when we do choices. We do choices when it's fun. Sandals or tennis shoes. You know, twirl or walk like a princess, Princess Belle, or would you like to march like a soldier to the car? Again, we're not saying you have to go to the car. We're going to say, how do you want to get there? For your bath tonight, do you want bubbles or would you like the crayons that draw on the wall? For your bath tonight, do you want to have the dinosaur towel or would you rather have mommy's towel? All the choices you like, they feel empowered, and they're going off to the bath because they didn't think that you about the bath part. They get to choose the towel. So you got it. Okay, so provide choices. Empower your kids. They are, they can make some good decisions themselves. So providing coping skills. I'll try to get through this. You guys know some of these things, but sometimes children get overwhelmed. Sometimes they get over anxious. Sometimes they can't think straight. So coping skills in order to get through on our seismic chart here, to get through an event, what do you need to do right now? What do you need to do with your body? I see you're really upset because there's a lot of homework. What would you like to do right now to help calm yourself down? Drink a water. Let's do some exercise, shooting hoops before we go out and play. Breathing exercises, muscle relaxation exercises, walking the dog, holding their favorite stuffed animal or their blankie, asking me for help. And one of my kids is, and if they take a nap, they feel refreshed when they get up. So you're going to help them learn that they can control their body and they can get through this big event, homework, putting on their shoes, whatever. As long as you have time. Of course, in the morning, you're not going to say, so what coping still do what? It's not going to work like that. But this is for a little bit bigger event so that you can help them calm down and handle it like you know that they can. Also, brain talk. So remember, you do this all the time. You guys are all doing it while I'm talking. Sometimes, if we come across something that's a little scary, ooh, I'm going to speak to this group this morning and I'm a little bit nervous. Okay, wait. I've spoken to them before and no one shot me on the stage. I've spoken to them before and they seem to like some of the stuff that I bring to them. So I go through evidence in my head and I say, you're okay, you're okay. This is something God gave you. Oh, yes, this is something God gave me that I've always wanted to do. Yes, okay, here I am, I'm good. Kind of. So I want you to have this self-talk for yourself. Say, I can do this. And you teach your children also to say, what do you say inside your head when that person is saying something really mean to you at school? What are you saying? That what they say isn't true? Very good. What else are you saying? I can walk away if I want to. Very nice. These are not out loud things. These are inside your head things. Oh, cutie. Okay. Let me go on to empathy. There's empathy with love and logic. That is what you provide just prior to the consequence. And it's a statement that you might have that says, essentially you're saying, I'm so sorry you made that choice because now there's going to be a consequence, but you don't sell those words. My words are, oh, sweetie. That's my empathetic statement with love and logic. So my grandkids, I got one at my house right now. So when they do something that they've been asked not to do or they make a mistake, and especially when you see it, you give your empathetic statement however you talk. You don't probably all say, oh, sweetie, it's how I talk even to my clients. Oh, sweetie, that sounds so hard. It's just how I am. But if I say it to my granddaughters, new grandson isn't old enough. But if she was 4 at the time, bit her 6-year-old sister right in front of me, and John and I were watching the kids, our kids were off on a little vacation, so we went to their house to stay. It was really fun. But when I say, oh, sweetie, she goes, oh. She knew to come over and sit down next to me. And the old sweetie was sincere, and it wasn't sarcastic. It's like, oh, I wish you hadn't made that choice, because now you're going to have to, you know, sit down next to me and can't play at the playground with your sister. So that's that empathy. Now I want to teach you what real empathy is. And that you use on your spouse. You use it with your mom and your dad. You use it with your employer or employees. It is eyes and ears word that say, I see you, I hear you. So empathy says, oh, it looks like you're really struggling right now. Is that right? I see that this is a real problem for you. Do I have that right? I hear how sad you are right now. Is that true? Kids need to know you see them before you start addressing whatever the issue is. It also slows them down, keeps them off the fight or flight side of their brain where they start to get, I see you. I want to know more about what's going on right here. It's a less aggressive way to get into the conversation with a child and saying, now what's wrong? Are you complaining again? Instead, you're going to say to your husband, oh, wow, it looks like you had a rough day. How are you doing? In my house, if somebody says, ooh, it looks like you had a rough day, there's a cup of tea coming my way right then. Because they know I don't want to, you're not going to fix my day. I would love to have a cup of tea. So you figure out what they need or what you need or what your husband needs or just be there to say, I hear you, I see you. Is that what's going on? So empathy is the number one skill, in my opinion, that we need in all of our relationships. Slow it down, see what's going on, make sure you have it right. By the way, your interpretation of what's going on with the kid is often wrong, you know? We don't know what's going on inside the head. We don't know what challenges they came across at school that day. So we want to hear that, and we don't want to put them in a position where we miss a whole subject because, you know, we launched off with what we thought we knew was going on. Finally, in order to show strength to your family and this calmness and this lovingness, routine is very important. It's hard because our lives are filled with this's and that's that come our way that we're not expecting. But as much as you can, for the sake of your kids' safety and calmness, routine is very important. As you know, spontaneity is not all that it's cracked up to be when you're six. So we all, as adults, say, oh, when are you going to take me out and not tell me where we're going? Kids don't like that very much. So even if it's a fun thing, they usually want to know so they can put everything in their brain just right, right? So that's a whole new subject, but sometimes laying on them the things that we think we would like, it doesn't always translate real well. So that routine is a sign of strength and calmness, and you're in charge. So I'll end it right there. I am teaching a class currently on to step parents. That's a whole different thing. Divorce and blending families is never what you think it looks like. It's really hard to do. Yes.
Sorry.
Oh, you're switching?
No.
Go ahead. Yes. Okay. Right.
At what age do you suggest that a parent can start a calendar or some sort of, you know, format to educate?
ASAP. Get that 6-month-old over to the calendar. This is what we're doing on Saturday. It needs to be such an integral part of your home. You know, I'm not a big one on stickers and rewards like that because you guys can't keep it up. I, of all people in the world, a teacher number one and a therapist number two, should be able to do that, could never keep it up. But calendars are really important. And just because we've gone digital these days, don't pull up your phone. Don't pull up your computer. Those giant calendars, you know, where we're going to go to grandma's house here, or maybe they're going to the biological dad's house here, or maybe there's a school carnival here, and we can count days to it. It's a wonderful way for them to organize themselves. That's a really good question. So again, you look like you're in control. And then that's the other thing is, oh, we were going to go to grandma's house here. Grandma's sick, and we don't want you to catch that. So how should we mark this? It says we're not going to go. They might put an X on it or whatever they do is fine. But then you want to reschedule. We're going to reschedule. Should we call her right now or should we wait until after she's done being sick? I want to call her right now. Okay, let's see if she's up. So they participate in some of the calendar changes. Just remember that schedules in kids' heads, if you have a child that has ADHD or some other maybe learning disabilities, when you change the calendar, even if it's for something fun, it sends them to the moon and they start they call you a liar. You said we were going to grandma's house. And you're like, grandma's sick. Can't we just accept that? It's not about being a little bratty kid. It's about a kid that can't rearrange their own inside calendar for a while. So as best you can, you give them plenty of lead time and you don't get angry when they can't handle it. But you also say, there are things that happen, second decisions, and you're going to try to help them get through that big change without calling you a liar too much. Don't be offended if they do that. Remember, some kids are very black and white in their thinking. Some of you are very black and white in your thinking. Some of your spouses are, and when it changes... Okay, there's a few questions at the end, but do you have any other questions about what we talked about?
Reaction thing appropriate to start?
You know, I've done it to five-year-olds, so not much younger than that. I imagine there's four-year-olds that can handle it. But and then you have to be really careful, but it sounds like you're responding here to something that's not that big on here. Don't try to make them do this if they're freaking out. But at some point the next day or that night when everyone's calm, you could draw it, say, so wow, that was pretty strong reaction to, I hate macaroni and cheese. Okay, other questions, yes?
A 3-year-old is very persistent asking for things.
Right.
Sometimes they're impossible to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're in a lecture, I would assume the empathy, you know, understanding for kind of try that, and then
so love and logic says, you never argue with a kid and you need a child and you or twice. And then you're going to go into your brain dead mode with your one-liner. I want to go to grandma's house. I know. You said we were going to go to grandma's house. I know. I want to la la. I know. You do not engage. Now, 3-year-olds that are really strong-willed, stop saying, I know! You know, there's like, okay. But you don't give in to them. You never engage in the conversation because you're done. And then there is a point at which you say, all right, you've had your say. There's going to be a consequence if you continue this. And then give them the consequence, which is, you know, take them to the room or whatever.
7-year-old, very sensitive,
yeah.
So the reaction does not meet the event. What's the tool to help calm him?
Oh, that's a great idea. Thank you.
A tool to calm him during this.
Right, so a 7-year-old that doesn't react well to some events. So again, this is a process. You're not going to fix this overnight, but in the process, after the whole thing is over and the next day when you're sitting and cozying on the couch and the TV or no electronics are on, say, you know, yesterday when you got really upset because fill in the blank, whatever that was. Do you remember that? Yeah, I remember that. I'm wondering, you know, on the scale of terrible things that could happen to you and this event, what number you'd put it at. And then you start them through the process of starting to see it. And one of my kids, the mom said, he screamed out, I know this is a number 2, but I can't get down there. It's just like, yes, that's what we want. That's what we want. So remember, in everything that you do with your kids, please don't expect them to get this overnight, right? They're kids. So slowly but surely, reducing. I like that you only kicked the dog and didn't try to strangle your sister. Good job. Right.
Thank you. What would you do if you have a child who you do think has like some sensitivities to like touch, like there's someone that always says itchy for
right.
all their like tags and clothes.
Right.
Brushing her hair, she really, it feels like it kind of does hurt.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's something that I'm like, before school, we have to brush teeth, brush hair, get dressed.
Mm-hmm.
But every morning, like that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she does have like the 10 reaction to it, and I can't get her down. And I don't know if part of it is really
hurting. She's probably really sensitive. So, you know, I mean, again, I've got grandkids that are like this too, like, oh my gosh, no tag, cut the tag out. You know, and she only wears, you know, anything it's got to be knit
dresses.
And elastic or dresses, right? So, and what the funny thing for her is they sent her, you know, suddenly, or they changed schools, and they had to have uniforms for the school, and they were dreading this because now they can't control all the stuff. They took her down. She tried that uniform on. She says, oh, this is really cute, which didn't make my son very happy. She was wearing it just fine. But, you know, especially for hair has to be done, and so you're going to do hair. She's going to do your hair at night. She's going to do daddy's hair at night. She's going to put bows and ribbons and make 25 ponytails sticking out if she wants. You get that detangler and you just say, I need to brush your hair, you know, and you can do this on Saturday, maybe when you're not so busy. So would you like to do the front side or would you like to do the back side? I'm going to do part of it. Which one do you want? Start giving her some control of brushing the hair, and that detangler, you just pour that stuff. You don't care about the rules. You know, it's put olive oil in if you have to. So she gets used to it, and be as soft as you can. Yes.
So I have a daughter who's not quite 3 years old yet. She's turning three in a few weeks. And she's very intelligent. I mean, she's speaking a ton. But she will not acknowledge us when we are trying to talk to her. So if we're telling her, you know, Sydney, no, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. Sydney, please don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. Sydney, please stop. And there's no acknowledgement, complete ignoring us. As we're saying no, she's doing the
She's
thing
got
over.
Control. She's yes. Awesome.
So, and it's aggravating because it happens all the time. And it, you know, you start to raise your voice and you start to get loud, and then you feel bad because then at the point you
no
yell,
screaming at your kids.
Yes, she runs off pouting. And so I just, how do you get her attention?
We don't have enough time for that whole answer. However. So, and I need to let this go, but I do teach Love and Logic until my next class is in March. It's going to be at North Coast Church in Vista. You're all welcome. In January, it'll be online, so you could sign up if you want, or you guys could have a class. It's 4 weeks, 4 Mondays, the Love and Logic book. So Parenting with Love and Logic by Jim Fay and Foster Klein. This is a great way. So she gets immediate, bedroom time, and she goes to her bedroom. Immediately, don't say it over and over again. And so if she's not going to acknowledge you or she's not going to change her, taken to her bedroom every time. And she stays in there screaming her head off if she needs to until she is quiet for 3 minutes.
The problem is, well, so mm-hmm. She knows that when I'm, you know, doing something with him, there are times that I can't stop and just...
So after the next day, you say, I noticed yesterday while I was feeding my son, you threw a fit, so today you're going to do bedroom time while I see him. Hopefully, next time you don't have to do that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you guys very much.